baby, on MMA Junkie Radio with Gorgeous George and Go. This is what we do and why we do it, baby. We rollin'!
Covering MMA from all over the world, this is the premier stop for all your combat sports needs. MMA Junkie Radio from the Mandalay Bay Resort and Casino in the fight capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada. The lights are on and the mics are hot. It's time to get your MMA fix, junkies. Take it away, Big John.
Gorgeous George and Goes, are you ready? Junkie Nation, are you ready? Let's get it on.
From the fight capital of the world, inside the beautiful Mandalay Bay Racing Sportsbook, you are listening to the MMA Junkie Radio Show, the only show that matters. I am your host, Gorgeous George. With me, as always, is the devious and dastardly Goes, our ace co-host. I almost said Ghost Coast.
Ghost Coast?
Yeah.
I'll take that compared to what I've been called in the past.
This is true. Thursday, September 19th, ready to crank out another MMA Junkie Radio Show. We have UFC on ESPN Plus 17 to look forward to and some news nuggets. However, it is a refreshing week, Goes, where we don't have to talk about, like, the big controversies. Usually when fighters are getting in trouble. And
what did Conor do? What did
brushing
BJ
up
do?
Against the law. Yeah, something to do with a legend. So it's kind of refreshing. Like, we have some notes here of what we can go through and give some other fighters love when a lot of the times we're spending time saying, yeah, man, so listen, he's going to have to get an attorney, and should he get suspended, and what's the state of New York or the state of Florida?
Happens in every sport, though, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
When it happens in MMA, people lose their minds, but it happens in every sport. It's just unfortunate.
Yeah, it sure is. And if we were talking NFL, boy, would we be talking about injuries.
Oh, man, there's a
ton.
Holy
cow, that's their biggest problem right now.
With everything they're doing to protect the quarterback, and they're still losing quarterbacks.
They sure are. They're dropping like flies. All right, folks, so buckle up. It's the MMA Junkie Radio Show, again, on a Thursday, and here we go. All you Junkie fans, listen up. If you're looking for a sports podcast that's outside the box, where the topics are trending and all of the people speak their minds, listen to our brothers and sister over at For the Win Podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and Popular Apps.
And to catch up with the latest news in golf, check out the Forward Press Podcast by Golf Week.
As a matter of fact, to see all the USA Today Network podcasts, including podcasts from NFL and NBA, go to podcast.usatoday.com. Goes, you and I are not afraid to exploit the fact that we love to eat. So I say we go in the order it should be. We're going to start off with the news nuggets first. That'll be our appetizers, and then we'll get to the main course, UFC on ESPN plus 17. We're always rushing to get to the big news. But again, no one messed up this week. No one ran afoul of the law or nothing like that. So It's refreshing to just hit the news.
I think a few people may have messed up, though.
What
There's
you mean?
A lot of smack talk. And
really?
You can't. Man, Jeremy Stephens was coming at Yair.
Yes.
Woo.
True.
Have you seen what Yair's done to people sometimes? Now, granted, he's been on the other side of that as well.
Yeah.
But I don't know if you want to go that far, but we'll get to that.
All right. There you go. So what I want to start off with is, how about the UFC applying for the trademark of the baddest motherfucker? I mean, okay. So at UFC 244, the main event is Jorge Masvidal versus Nate Diaz. Nobody would disagree that they are bad motherfuckers. However, and the UFC is going so far to actually create a belt for this. You know, the UFC usually likes to headline big events, especially like New York with title fights, plural. Well, they don't even have a title fight. So far, who knows? Who knows what might happen with Kamaru Usman and Colby Covington? But they have been actually selling this fight as the main event being Diaz versus Masvidal. Everybody's excited to see it. Everybody's going nuts over it. It's a West Coast gangster against an East Coast gangster. There's lots of storylines. In fact, tonight, Goes, in New York, they're actually going to have a press conference. Dana White's going to be there as well. However, you know, nobody's really anticipating much in terms of, you know, trash talk or gangster talk or, you know, that type of swag, pushing matches. It seems like these guys are such OGs that they're just going to leave it to the battlefield, and they really don't need to pronounce just how bad they are, because everyone knows how bad they are. Each other knows how bad they are. That's a lot of respect.
It's kind of weird, though, right? Because Masvidal's pretty funny when he gets into that mode. Lately, he's been pulling back a little bit, but when you talk to him, his smack talk is unique because I don't think he does it with the intention of being funny. I think he just kind of is the way he is.
Right.
And Nate Diaz is very similar in the sense that he'll just say things that I don't even think he realizes make us laugh. But they do. I think they have the potential to do something like that, but
Nate Diaz seems like he's half asleep half the time, though.
Yeah. And then, I mean, you kind of have to bring it out of him mm-hmm. a little bit. Same with Masvidal. You got to just ask him the right questions. Does this almost seem like the $1 million belt to you? Kind of like in pro wrestling or something.
The hardcore belt.
Yeah, one of those. Like, I don't know. Are they actually going to build the belt for it?
They are going to build the belt. But this whole trademark thing, like,
that's like LeBron and Taco Tuesday. Yeah, I mean, come on. Calm down.
I heard that one. I mean, you know, the other day we were talking about the UFC Octagon Girls, and that's really the proper way to call them that. But they're ring card girls. I mean, it's not a ring. I get it. It's an octagon. But it just doesn't even feel right, because they've trademarked the octagon as well. So, you know, I remember back in the 80s, Pat Riley, the coach of the Lakers, he trademarked three-peat. Like, all that stuff's so silly to me. You know, there's times when we're even looking to do our off-guard series, and if we're in a gym that's playing music, oh, well, you know, the music might pick up, and there's copyright claims of that. Man, come on, man. It's we're just doing a video. It's a 90-second video with a fighter. Whatever's heard in the background, enough already. Nobody tuned in to listen to the song and get off on the song. They're getting off on the interview. So that type of thing, and the trademark, and you know what I mean? These copyrights, I don't know.
Let's get ready to rumble? I mean, yeah, I don't mind that one. But Taco Tuesday? Come on, LeBron.
Ridiculous, yeah. So
you need more money? You really do?
The UFC, what do you think their play was here?
I think it's a little silly.
Do you think this belt's going to be so big that maybe that's their play? Like, hey, this thing's going to be bigger than we thought. Like, we're going to get some of the other badasses into the mix and maybe throw them in there. Maybe remember the hardcore belt? We'll give it its due.
Mm-hmm.
I think this was the late 90s, early 2000s. People actually looked forward to that matchup.
Well, I guess my first question would be, anytime the baddest motherfucker belt is defended, does it have to go 5 rounds? Because if that's the case, then I think it's silly. Why put extra mileage on fighters just for a belt that doesn't really even mean anything?
Yeah.
Are you getting Reebok money? Maybe explain it. And let us know whether it's a joke that we can all kind of jump on with and laugh about for a little bit, or if this is something that's going to stay.
Well, if they called it the $1 million belt.
How are they going to do that on ESPN?
That's true.
They're just gonna going to bleep it every time?
They're going with BMF, but well, it will be a pay-per-view, so I think on the pay-per-view they can be a little bit more flexible. But yeah, all that, whether it's Plus, whether it's, you know, we always circle back to Disney, and I know Disney doesn't get too crazy about F-bombs. But regardless, I will say this. If it became something that was as big as the $1 million belt and you attach the $1 million prize to it, what I'm scared of is more fighters are going to want to fight for that than the actual world title. I think your goal should always be to be the best in the business, to be a world champion, get them pay-per-view points, become your own millionaire.
I agree.
Not a millionaire by title.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so that's what they did, and good luck with that one. Now, Masvidal and Diaz, why aren't people excited about tonight's press conference? You know, usually
you don't know if they're going to show up.
You can't wait to hit that stream. Well, I think they'll show up for this one.
Yeah, you would imagine, right? But I mean, yeah. Both guys do have that history of just. I think what last time didn't Masvidal just not want to go against Ben Askren?
Yeah.
And you know, Nate Diaz, if he shows up, he's showing up late. I don't know. I think it's just because both guys have just been kind of chill, and they've actually shown somewhat respect towards each other, which is kind of weird. So I think it's still going to be funny, because really if you have two gangsters, all you got to do is ask them the right question, and things can turn around really, really fast.
What is the right question? Is there a key question that you know can...
I think that West Coast, East Coast thing can mm-hmm. kind of light them up a little bit.
Okay.
I think that would be funny.
Take the rapper angle?
Because they both agree that the other guy is kind of OG and they represent whatever it is they stand for. So they're not going to disagree on that. I think if you ask them anything about their skills, they're going to say, hey, come fight night, you're going to find out. So I think you need to touch on something else.
How about who's the A side?
Yeah, that's perfect.
You know what I mean?
Something like that.
So I got a question, George from MMA Junkie Radio. I was just wondering, who's the A side? This is for Jorge and Nate. Who's the A side here?
Here's the thing.
And Dana, don't feel shy about, you know, chiming in.
You asked that question, and you deserve the belt. Because I don't know about Nate.
At least until November 2nd.
Yeah, I don't know about Nate, but I know Jorge, and he would give you a look with a smile. But that smile for sure means, George, you motherfucker. Because he'll know exactly what you're trying to do. Mm-hmm. I don't know if Nate Diaz will catch on, but I know Jorge would catch on.
Nothing wrong with being an instigator. I feel like an instigator is also the guy where if you're all camping and you gotta start a fire, that guy usually starts the fire. He figures out a way. All right, how about this? Again, I'm having fun. Just we're going to decompress and have fun hitting these new news nuggets. PETA calls out the UFC for Khabib wrestling with the bear. He did this as a kid, and I guess he's done it a few other times on social media, and they say it's the same bear. Goes, I've watched it. It's playful to me. I mean, what sucks is the bear's chained up, but what's he supposed to be? Not chained up so that something really bad can happen, you know, to anyone that might be around, you know, whether it's filming or to Khabib himself. I mean, I'm pretty sure that bear is not the type that's going to, you know, just leave three humans behind. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I think there's a reason that the bear just can't be free either. The bear just can't be out there.
He's
roaming.
A bear.
Yeah.
I'm probably the last guy to ask about this because I don't really know too much about this. But just being a normal human being looking at something, to me it looks like almost like the bear's having fun, to be honest.
Yeah.
But I guess I... He's in this day and age, I guess I get that, but you have to remember, like, this is a dude that lives in another country, you know? This is something that's happening in another country. They have different ways of viewing things. PETA, I think, sometimes needs to chill. And I think for them to be out in the news, they have to do stuff. And I think sometimes they push it just a little bit too much. I don't know about this, man. This is something he's been doing since he was a kid. The bear seems fine to me, but... whatever.
How serious do you think the UFC takes this?
Not serious at all.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, and I think that's the best way to do it because the more serious you do consider it, the more you put it out there, the more it's just going to keep circling back. Mm-hmm. You either come – and that's what Dana White's good at is just an over-the-top statement. Yeah, okay, I see your king. Here's my ace. You know what I mean? And then after that, whatever. But
maybe they won't use the footage, right? Maybe they won't use it to promote the UFC. But they're not going to tell Khabib, stop doing it, or we're not going to let you fight.
Yeah. And if they do, I think it's something along the lines like, we wouldn't be mad at you if that was the last time you did it. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I mean, yeah, you're right. It looks like the bear's having fun. It looks like it's playful to me. So I don't know. Maybe I lack an insensitivity chip, but I'm telling you, man, stuff like this drives me nuts.
I can bear it.
All right. David Branch got suspended. So I can bear it. David Branch got suspended. So did Sarah Frota, and so did two other fighters, Eastern European. One of the guys was the one that fought Greg Hardy earlier this year. And they're not the most notable names, but, you know, at one time, David Branch, was a champ over at WSOF, now known as Bellator. More than anything, isn't it more along the line of, now known as PFL. Isn't it now just more surprising that fighters are trying to test USADA?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Seems like USADA is pretty tough to beat unless you're really rich and elaborate. But, I you know, that's what surprises me the most.
I wish there probably is, but I wish we can take a look at all of them and just see what is it that they have in common. Because if you look at David Branch, it's not like David Branch is on the cusp of a title or something, right? And he's saying, I just need this one thing to put me over the edge, or like a TJ Dillashaw, right? He's just trying to hold on to what's his. He's more of a guy that seems like he's closer to the end of his career, maybe just looking for ways to... maybe things just aren't recovering as fast as they used to, but I want to see what that spectrum is. Like, what are things that these guys have in common? Cause it really does seem like they're all over the place. They're foreign fighters. They're American fighters. That doesn't seem to matter. I don't know.
And a few of them have bounced back nicely. Alvarez, who we'll touch on in just a second. He's over at ONE Championship. I think he's making some dough. I heard when John Lineker had his last problems with the UFC, same thing. Offers came in and apparently he signed something lucrative. I've heard of another well-known UFC fighter who right now is on the cusp of getting a title shot, who's been offered pretty good money at Bellator, and of course Bellator's paid well for Machida, Musas. I, what I'm saying is there are options if you, I guess, want to go somewhere where it's less strict. But right now, nowadays, to cheat with USADA in the picture, you're dumb if you think you can get it past them, and you're also dumb if you unintentionally did something and couldn't get it past them. In other words, a supplement, you know, where it, it really, really is tainted. I mean, come on. The resources are there. All you have to do is make a call, read the label, and say, listen, this is what I have. I'm sending you a sample, or you know what I mean? I think you can really look after yourself and not get caught that way. And as far as trying to cheat, you got to be rich and have an elaborate scheme, and I don't think anyone in the UFC is really in that position. I mean, maybe there's the 5% that can afford that need to do that, but not any of the fighters we just named.
And how long do you do it for? You know, are you trying to get away with one fight? Are you trying to get away with the next 10? I mean, that's a lot to ask for.
Right, because remember,
not Ocean's 11.
USADA is random. USADA can test you today and not test you for a whole year, or they can test you today and be back in 2 days. So you really can't, you don't get a rhythm for when, like, okay, you know, not like back in the day when you kind of knew it was centered more around your fight and you could just blow up if you wanted to, you know, throughout your camp. Here, it's a lot different. So, I don't know. I see this and I'm like, come on, guys and gals. Eddie Alvarez, I dropped his name a second ago. Did you know that he came close to never fighting again after that eye injury in one championship?
It looked pretty bad. We've seen quite a few of those as of late, eye injuries, but that would suck. But if you look at Eddie Alvarez and what he's accomplished, I guess
it's quite a career.
It would hurt to go away, but yeah, he's done quite a lot of things. I mean, over different organizations, just having two titles alone, one in Bellator, one in the UFC, that's pretty big in itself.
And after seeing what happened to Todd Duffy and not knowing all the facts, it just didn't look as gruesome as others, but without knowing all that, maybe we want to just tap the brakes and figure out what his injury was, you know, in the end. Because you're right. All it is maybe like the nail grazing could, you know, scratch a cornea or something like that. Yeah. I think people think, well, how deep did the thumb go in the eye socket? And that determines the injury. Mm-hmm. That's not always the case.
Yeah. Now detached retinas get solved a little bit. Really, when you think about it, when you go back, that's what ended Sugar Ray's career.
Correct.
Detached retina. Now that's like, what, 9-month process or something like that?
That can be fixed now, yeah.
Look at Michael Bisping, what he's had to go through in his career.
Yeah. All right. Speaking of one championship, Angela Lee says she wants one championship stateside. However, not in the actual continental states. She wants it in her native Hawaii. However, she's also willing to step aside for her brother.
That's cool.
Yeah, it is.
That makes a lot of sense because her brother has gold there as well. And Angela Lee's been, since day one when she signed with One Championship, she's been trying to get them to go to Hawaii. So if she can finally talk them into it, for her to step aside for her brother, who she's fought on the same card as him before.
And that's what she's trying to avoid.
Yeah, it hasn't gone well for them. I think they made an agreement that they're not going to do that ever again.
I heard the Pettis brothers do that once.
Yeah, I think the Lozon brothers did it, and I think they liked it, right? There's a few that do it together and actually like it. But I think that's pretty cool of her to do something like that. And I think it makes the most sense. But who knows if they'll ever come back. I mean, I don't know. I think that's the one time where you just say, look, it didn't work out the first time, but let's just do it again.
That's true, because remember Bellator debuted in Hawaii last year in December. And here we are in September. And I don't think I've heard of plans for them to be there this year. Yeah. And you know how it is. When a promotion goes to a certain city or a certain part of the world that they've never been, if you ask them, when are you coming back? They say, well, we're here right now. We're at the press conference, you know. But we're going to try and come here once a year, man. People were going nuts. Then you look at it and you're like, holy shit. There's a lot. The world is big and there's a lot of other cities that want us to stop there. And we just don't have enough events. And sometimes it's really every 2 years. So you're right, goes, what if she plays that and then she has to wait a while? Because One Championship doesn't travel the United States. They do Asia. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And if they do come to the United States, I imagine they're going to hit major cities, pop in, pop out, and that might be it for the year or what, but it's not like they're going to do a 17-city tour.
Yeah.
All right. Now let's switch over to another one of the big promotions, Bellator. Eric Goyito Perez has signed with Bellator. That's pretty cool, right? Beck Rawlings, she's debuting at Bellator 221. Again, not the biggest stars, not major stars, but you know what? They've punched the clock. They've been in the sport. Goyito Perez, at one point, the UFC thought maybe he might be their guy. You know, we'll talk about Yair, and he may actually be their guy in just a second. But I remember they thought, you know, that of Goyito Perez, and then Beck Rawlings. She's done a lot, you know, in her career, first in the UFC, and then at bare knuckle, she was kind of really, really blossoming, but she's back in MMA. So good on Bellator to keep shoring up different types of ranks within the promotion. It can't just be superstars. You also need names to put over the young that you're going to nurture and make a future superstar out of.
I think that's a great signing, so long as they're not overpaying for him. If you look at his record, if you look at Beck Rawlings' records, they're not the most sexiest records. They're not terrible records or anything like that. But if you look at them both, they're both very marketable, right? He's got the luchador mask. You can market to the Hispanic market. Beck Rawlings, she's kind of edgy. She has great interviews, and she's fun to watch. So good signings, just so long as you're not overpaying for these fighters, because we want Bellator to stick around. We want PFL to stick around.
Exactly. And like I say, I think what's going to wind up happening is they'll go out there and you can market them, you know, certain parts of the United States, just get people to tune in. But more than anything, watch. Within their second or third fight, they're going to be the ones that test the Bellator younger talent. Mm-hmm. And if the Bellator younger talent can get over and win, then it just catapults them better than if they were to just fight another Joe Blow.
You need fights.
They're almost sacrificial lambs in a way, as they're kind of on the downside of their career. And guess what? If they pull it off and go on a 3-fight win streak, hey, remember Goyito? Super popular. Look, he's doing great over here, too. Yeah. And then next thing you know, maybe they have themselves a star or just somebody that's marketable.
You need that first and second fight of the night to have people that we remember.
Yeah.
Right? And I think that's what Bellator's been lacking, is the main event, great. But then after that, you're kind of like, well, who's this guy? Who's that guy? And they're trying to build them. Well, if you're going to build them, use names like these.
I agree. There is one more name out there, Nick Newell. He's signed a multi-fight contract with Bellator. What are your thoughts on that, and where do you stand with Nick Newell?
I think Nick Newell has proven himself throughout the years. I just, when he said he was done, I thought it was a good time for him to go. Watching him fight Justin Gaethje a while back was just, now granted, Justin Gaethje's done that to a lot of people, but I remember that feeling that night, and I wasn't too down with that. In Bellator, I mean, yeah, he can be competitive, and again, he's a name. It just, it depends on Nick. I feel like Nick is always one fight away from just calling it a career.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, I think with Nick there comes a lot of notoriety for being, you know, a fighter with one hand. But he's got enough wins over credible fighters where you're like, well, we're not just signing him because of that.
Mm-hmm.
We're signing him because we think he's an actual talent.
Yeah.
However, I think most people have already been able to see that I don't believe, and if he can prove me wrong, I'll be the first to congratulate him, but I just don't believe he'll be a world champion at Bellator, just the same way I felt like he wouldn't be a world champion at UFC. Now, granted, he got to a world title fight in WSOF. Credit there. That was his first loss, Justin Gaethje. Who knows? What if it wasn't Justin Gaethje, it was someone else? Maybe he would have been able to do that. But you're right. When he exited the sport then, that would have been great. However, I just think that more than likely, there's probably some dough that's available for him and his family. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And then when he probably goes on and does something else, you know, starts a new career, he'll at least have that little cushion to buy a house, or maybe to set up a college fund for his family, you know,
a gym,
his kids,
or whatever,
a gym, yeah, something like that. So I can't hate on him for continuing the career, and I can't hate on Bellator for, you know, giving them that chance. But I don't think it's like an exploitation or nothing like that.
No, not at all. In fact, Bellator is very good at promoting their athletes in a certain way and really making them shine. So a story like Nick Newell, I think they could do really good stuff with that.
Completely agree. All right, now we'll put that to the side and let's talk some fights. All right, girls, there's some fights coming up. UFC on ESPN plus 17. I got some odds in my hand and I got all the pertinent info for this weekend's event. So they are going to be back in Mexico, Mexico City, to be more exact. And if you go to MMA Junkie, there's a couple tabs at the top. One of them is called Schedule. If you hit it and then scroll down and look for UFC on ESPN Plus 17, when we're not around, we're there for you. All right? This is available on the tablet and on the smartphones. So basically it's the MMA Junkie app. But, you know, all that information, I think I said inflammation, sorry. All that information is right there. For example, when's it start, George? 8 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Plus. Okay, that's the main card. What about the prelims? Also on ESPN Plus, 5 p.m. Eastern. All that's right there. I'm looking at all the matchups. I know that the first matchup of the night is going to be Marcos Mariano versus Claudio Puelles. I also know the main event is going to be Yair Rodriguez versus Jeremy Stephens. I also know the first fight on the main card is going to be Martin Bravo versus Steven Peterson. And if you were to say, well, yeah, well, what's the records? I'd say 11-2 and 17-9 because it's all laid out there nicely. So take advantage of that schedule tab. Now, getting to that, Yair Rodriguez, let's start at the top, versus Jeremy Stephens. What is it with these guys? They're not fans of each other, apparently.
No, I mean, you got to do something like that if you're gonna want to sell tickets, if you really want people to tune in for a main event. But especially Jeremy Stephens on his side, man, he was pretty brutal. But here's the thing: if you know that kid, you realize it's not really that much against Yair. He's kind of like that for everyone.
Yeah.
And you love to hear that. You love to hear that this means a lot to him. And for fighters to call their own shots, that sort of things. That's like when he called out Connor that one time on the dais, like, okay, Connor kind of burned him when he came back. But hey, man, he stood up, and who knows, that could have worked out in his favor. Maybe it still works out to his favor at one point in Connor's career. Maybe somehow they make that fight happen. But it kind of put me over the edge. Like, I'm kind of now very excited to watch that fight. Whereas before I was like, all right, let me know. Let me know when it's on. I'll come down. I'll watch it. It'll be okay. Now I kind of have to see it.
Who do you got?
I've gone back and forth on this, dude. At one point, breaking down their skill sets, really, I just went with, how about I'm just going to go with the hometown guy? Maybe that hometown advantage is just enough to put him over. But Jeremy Stephens, dude, he's a nightmare. And I think those are the type of guys that give Yair problems, right? The guys that come forward, the guys that are very, very aggressive. Yair can knock you out with some pretty flashy stuff, but he doesn't really have like that one shot knockout power, and Jeremy Stephens does. And I feel like as sloppy as Yair can get sometimes, just throwing random things, I think that's where maybe Jeremy Stephens, if he can just dial it back a little bit, which he's done in the past, when he does that, I think that's when he'll land those meaningful shots and could maybe put Yair out.
Yeah, plus Yair had a KO of the year last year. I mean, that thing was beautiful.
He was losing that fight.
He was losing the fight. He was down 3-1, and I believe he was down in that round. So he was basically ready to be anointed the loser of that match. Instead, he wins, and here we are. Now, that was a year ago. So there's a layoff there, and before that, there was a layoff. And I don't know how much of that previous layoff you can attribute to being down 3-1 and being down in round 5 without taking anything away from the zombie, who's one hell of a fighter. But still, he just doesn't fight frequently, and I just think Stephens is a veteran. He's seen a lot. I like Stephens in this matchup. In fact, I'm going to give you a quick parlay, if I may. Stephens, Esparza, and Sergio Pettis.
All right, now, I got usually, that right here. Here's what this is.
Usually a three-teamer is if you put $100 or 10, depend, or 1,000, whatever you bet. Most people just go with 100. It should pay you 600, but because Pettis is a little bit of a bigger favorite, mm-hmm. It might pay you about 500, maybe 450 or something like that. But still, I like those three. So you're welcome, Junkie Nation. Stephens, Esparza, and Sergio Pettis.
I think I'm going to co-sign on this. The only brutal part about this parlay.
You just like Yair a second ago.
Well, I think I ended up picking him on staff picks.
Oh, okay.
But
I swayed you back?
Yeah, I think I'm going to end up going Jeremy Stephens. If you look at Jeremy Stephens, you got to wait all the way to the main event. I hate that. To win a parlay. But yeah, okay, so you got Grasso. I agree with that. All right, I mean, you got Esparza. The thing about Alexa Grasso, I was having this conversation last night. I think she's good.
She's getting better at stopping the takedown.
She's getting better. But
got
really?
Great hands, man.
I think she should be in boxing.
An animal when she when she gets the fight to the ground. And her stand-up, by the way, has improved as well.
Yeah.
I just think that ground game, that wrestling might be the difference.
I think it's too much. And not only that, once she gets her down, I think she's just going to keep her down. I think Alexa Grasso would be better off in boxing. Sergio Pettis, I'm down with that. Yeah, I like that one.
Yeah. All right, so not to jump the gun, but yeah. So, first of all, I am taking Stevens. I just think the veteran's going to pull through. I think Esparza is going to win based on her grappling at some point against Alexa Grasso. A little bit of control, a little bit of ground and pound, and just impressing the judges that way. If she spends more time on her feet, though, Alexa Grasso will light her up. And I'm anxious to see if the Assassin Baby, I think that's Brandon Moreno's nickname. I haven't seen him fight too often lately, if he can maybe make a little bit of a comeback. But he right now, he's a little bit of an underdog. And Irene Aldana, she can also throw hands too, man.
Yeah, I love her. She's awesome. If you look at this card, though, for as much as the UFC's been to Mexico, there's not that many repeat offenders here on this card. And I always wonder, because as ridiculous as it sounds, people know the altitude out there, how brutal that can be. Mm-hmm. We've seen that happen to fighters
and
before.
And the nutrition and the air quality.
Mm-hmm. I so wonder how many of these people took that seriously.
When Fabricio Werdum won his world title over Cain Velasquez, everybody talks about C-level Cain, this Cain, that Cain. Cain always had great wind. For one, he got lit up. Two, he was there 2 weeks before, but that wasn't enough. Fabricio Werdum was out there 2 months before.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, folks. There you have it. That is today's MMA Junkie Radio Show. Don't forget to have it locked in on MMA Junkie throughout the weekend for this UFC on ESPN Plus 17 card. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at MMA Junkie George, at MMA Junkie Radio, and at The Goes. We are out of here. Go out there and be a champion.